I can't even say guitar. And I wasn't playing that either. But that was beautiful. I appreciate it. And it turned out real good. That she gave me one of her CDs the other day, and I started to leave. I guess it's Monday morning, probably. I don't know when it was. And she said, I want you to put it in this truck. And she instructed me. She said, I want you to listen to it, too. So every time she rides with me, I turn it on. Oh, man, I'll tell you. Well, you've heard people say that it takes a special woman to be a preacher's wife. That's the truth. That's the reason why I'm still living. But she done a beautiful job, and I appreciate it so very, very much. I want us to look today in John chapter number 2, and I want to read the first 10 verses of that chapter, John chapter 2, and the first 10 verses. I want to read and talk to you for a little while this morning. And I do desire your prayers as I stand before you. Stand with me, if you will, if you found that place in John chapter number 2. And let's look at the first 10 verses together. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when they have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word, and Lord, thank you for the privilege have been in church today, and for all these folks who are here present with us, and we ask that you'd be with us in a very special way. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your servant as we give out the Lord's message, that it might be effective in the hearts and lives of every person who is here today, Lord, and you understand every need, and you understand all about us, so we just pray that you'd help us as we worship you together and use us to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. I want to preach on the thought of 6 water pots of blessing. John chapter number 2, and these verses that I read describes or gives a record of the first miracle that Jesus done in Cana of Galilee, and it was turning the water into wine. The second recorded miracle of Jesus is also in this same place, not at the same time, but in this same place. And the second one was when in John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, when the nobleman's son is healed. And John probably records more miracles of Jesus than maybe all the other gospels put together. But he talks about them. You know, Matthew, he talks about Jesus. He presents Jesus as the Messiah king, or as a king. And Mark presents him as a servant, a redeemer, or as a servant. Luke presents him as a perfect man, or the son of man. And John simply presents him as the son of God. No wonder that the book of John is the book that you first encourage young converts to read. Reading the book of John would be great to read it every month of the year. and 20 minutes out of the day, and you could take Saturday and Sunday off, or 10 minutes rather out of the day, you could take Saturday and Sunday off, and you could read the book of John 5 days a week and read it through every month in the year. Be amazing what it do for you. Say, but preacher, I'll get familiar with it. You'll love it that much more. And it'll make your life that much more productive. John really has a way of talking to people. Has a really a way of talking to people. And it's an interesting book. It's rich with things that we need to know and the things that we need to hear. This happened in Cana of Galilee that I read here this morning. And it was a marriage feast. And Jesus and his disciples were invited. Jesus' mother was there. And they run out of wine. Now let me talk to you a minute about the wine. Wine in the Bible, and wine when you look at it in the dictionary. A lot of people say now it's okay to drink a little wine. I remember a preacher was talking about it one time, says every wino on the block knows that verse of scripture, a little wine for thy stomach's sake. And of course he takes a little bit for the ingrown toenail and a little bit for whatever, you know, and next thing you know, it's gone. A physician, a doctor, a person would know that if you got a bad stomach, the last thing you want in there is alcohol. Hey, it even hurts if you've got a sore on your finger. Pour it on there. It hurts. You go back and look in the dictionary. That's hard to find them. But you go back, and I went to the library the other day. I couldn't find what I was looking for in the office. And I couldn't find it. I've stored it good, I'll tell you, probably in file 13, and it's gone forever. But I went down to the library, and the oldest dictionary that I could find, I was talking, the printing date was in 1963. And in 1963, one of the definitions to wine was the grape juice, sweet or fermented. That it was always it's always been up until I believe, if I remember what I read correctly, that in 1969 was probably when that part of the definition of wine was dropped. If you look in the modern dictionary, it says a wine is alcoholic beverages made out of whatever it is. But you look in those old dictionaries, and when you go back from 1963 and on back down, and in the time when they translated the King James Version of the Bible, the word wine meant grape juice, either sweet or fermented, either one. And so they was talking about the Bible would not present Jesus as making from 120 to 180 gallons of liquor to sell to give to a bunch of people to make their heads swim and to get sick of their stomach. That's not the way it goes. It's not that, and that's not promoting the drinking of alcohol. So that's let me throw that in for good measure here. So, and then we'll get started in to the message that I feel like the Lord wants us to bring. And so Jesus' mother came to him and says, they don't have any more wine. And Jesus says, my time has not yet come. All of these statements that he made here, they may sound rude, but they're not rude. When you go back and look at them and read them and think on them, he says, my hour has not yet come. And Mary just simply told the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And there were six of these water pots containing six firkins apiece. Or three firkins apiece, and this would mean from 20 to 30 gallons apiece, and six of those things would be a lot of wine or grape juice, 120 to 180 gallon, depend on which one figure you use there to get them filled. And they filled them up with water, and notice what they done, that they filled that up to the brim. Now the brim is the top of the pot. And they filled it up till it was ready to run over. There was no room to put anything else in it. No room to put anything else in it. Couldn't mix it with something else. No room there. And so Jesus told them to fill those water pots up, and they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus says, now you take that out and give it to the governor first. Go and serve him first. That's the person who was in charge of these festivities, and said that, and he tasted of that wine, and he called the bridegroom and says, hey, says, you've gone backwards in this. Said, usually you serve the good wine first. And when people have got about all they want to drink, then you bring out the bad wine. And if they want some, then they can take it. If they don't, just leave it sitting there. They don't have to, but said, this is the best that you've had from the beginning. The very best. The Lord does well in whatever he does. He does it right. He does it in the right way. So this was a blessing. And let's think of them, 6 water pots of blessings. First of all, we put our sins into the pot and we draw out salvation. Now notice what they done. They put water in the pot. They drew out the best wine that they had at the feast. That's because Jesus turned it into wine. That's because Jesus done the work. We put our sins in the pot and let the Lord take care of them, and we draw out salvation. The sin debt is more than we can pay. I don't care how much we've got. We cannot pay the sin debt ourselves. Luke 7:41 talks about, and from 41 through 48, talks about 2 men that owed debts. One of them owed 500 pence, one of them owed 50 pence. And they didn't have anything to pay, so the Lord says that both of them were forgiven. And he asked a question, said, which one do you think will love that person that they owed the debt to the most? And they said, well, I suppose that the one he forgave the most. I suppose that's the one that'll love him the most. And Jesus had gone into the house of a Pharisee to eat a meal, and the people criticized him and for going in there. And this woman came with some precious ointment to anoint the feet of Jesus. And she stooped down and she wept and cried and took the tears and washed his feet and wiped them with her hair, and took that precious ointment and anointed his feet. And this Pharisee's name was Simon. And Jesus turned to Simon and said, Simon, since I've come into your house, he says, you didn't wash my feet. And says, this woman has washed my feet with the tears that she shed. Said, you didn't offer me any water. And it was customary that when you come in the house, they would offer you water. And if they was well-to-do people, they had a servant that would come and wash your feet. And they, he said, you never gave me any water for my feet. He said, you didn't anoint my head with oil. You didn't give me a kiss on the cheek when I come in. You didn't greet me with a kiss. But he says, this woman has anointed my feet and has not ceased to kiss them since I've come in the house. When you put your sins in that pot and draw out salvation, it'll cause you to fall in love with the Lord all over. That's exactly what'll happen, folks. That's a blessing. You say, but preacher, I don't understand all this. Don't say anything about understanding. I'm not preaching about understanding. I'm preaching about doing. Put them sins in the pot. Think of it any way you want to. And trust the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when the work is done. There'll be a lot of things that we don't understand, but we do it by faith. In that number two, we put our prayers into the pot and we get answers. You say, preacher, but God hasn't answered my prayers. Oh, yes, we put prayers in the pot and we get answers. Remember, when we're praying sincerely, we talk to God about our problems and we ask God for help, and we accept the help that God sends, and we follow him in his direction. And we don't play Cupid with God. God knows exactly what we're doing when we pray. So we put our prayers in and we get answers. Daniel prayed and God delivered him from the den of lions. But Daniel prayed before he had the problems too. He prayed. Peter, there was prayer that was offered for Peter when he was in jail, and God sent an angel down and set him free, and Peter was able to go to the house where they was having a prayer meeting and join with them for that prayer meeting that night. The people there praying doubted it was Jesus. They said, hey, you don't understand. Somebody was knocking on the door there in the book of Acts, and this lady went to the door, and she came back, and she got so excited. She opened the door, and there was Peter, and slammed the door in his face. Evidently, he came back in there and he kept knocking on the door. And she said, Peter is standing out here at the door. They said, well, woman, you're beside yourself. That ain't going to happen. He's in jail. And he just kept on knocking. Finally, they went. Now, you know, does that sound like a Free Will Baptist meeting? You pray for something to happen. That, Lord, what about that? Mercy, I'm shocked. We should not be shocked. That's when you put your prayers in the pot and let the Lord do the answering. That's what you do. And God answers in the right way at the right time. We put our problems into the pot, and he gives us guidance. Put your problems. Jesus says, cast your cares upon me. Cast your cares upon the Lord, and he will sustain you, one of the writers said. The Lord cares about us. He cares about it. So put your problems into that pot, and God will give guidance. In 2 Kings chapter number 20, the water was bad in this particular place. And the prophet was instructed to take salt and put it in the spring. Now, that don't make any sense, does it? You remember those old Westerns, you know, they put water in the spring. They wanted to be mean and honoring, you know, and they put water or salt in the spring, and they couldn't drink the water. It'd make them sick. But he was instructed to put salt in the water, and it cured the waters. They were fine. They were fine. You say, but preacher, it don't work. I don't know how it'll work. It worked in the Bible. If God says to do it, it'll work. What God says, and when God gives you guidance, you listen to him. Fire serpents was among the Israelites as they traveled from Egypt to Canaan and bit the people, and they were dying like crazy. And Moses was instructed to make a serpent out of brass. Make a serpent that would look like one of those snakes that was crawling around on the ground. And he said, you take that serpent and you put it on the pole and you lift it up so people in the congregation can see it. A little one can see it. Put it up high enough so the little ones can see it. Put it up high enough so anybody can see. And when they look at that snake on the pole, they're going to be cured and they're not going to die. It's not going to harm them. That's the guidance that God gives. And he gave it to where, now anybody could do that. You say, but preacher, that sounds so simple. That's exactly the way God's fixed it. It's simple. It's simple. I like simple plans. I don't like change. You know, Mildred makes me change my socks once in a while. You know what? But, you know, I wear the same kind of socks all the time. You get sore feet, you'll do about anything to make them feel better, I'll tell you right now. But when God gives you directions, they're simple so we can follow them. I remember Lehman Strauss was talking one time about when he was in seminary, and this one professor that was in there, and if you ever get a chance to hear him preach, if he is ever around within 50, 100 miles, you can drive and hear him preach, and his name is Lehman Strauss. If you ever get an opportunity, you drive that distance to hear him preach, and you won't regret it. If you like preaching, I mean good, solid Bible preaching, and a man that knows how to dish it out, you go and hear it. And he said he remembered that professor in the seminary said, folks, you remember when you're preaching that you put the goodies down on the low shelves where the children can get to them. And that's the truth. God's plan is a simple plan. It's a simple plan, and that's what he's given to us. So we put our sorrows in the pot. And he gives us comfort. Remember, Martha and Mary said, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, your brother's going to live again. They said, Lord, I know he's going to live again in the resurrection. He said he's going to live again immediately. He's going to live again immediately. That was comfort. And even if he didn't raise from the dead, they had the comfort of knowing that he was going to be alive in the end time, that God was going to give him a brand new body, and old Lazarus is going to get that. You say, well, preacher, you mean he died again? Well, I don't know of anybody that's 2,000 years old. And of course, I'm not very smart, but I'm sure somebody would have come up with it, you know. I'm sure that. So we put our sorrows in, and he gives us comfort. The Lord's able to comfort our hearts. You say, but preacher, it don't work for me. It will when we get to the place that we put them in the pot and give them to God. That's what we do. Things don't work like I wanted to in my life. And I'm sure that it don't in your life. I'm sure that you have problems and you say, why, Lord, does it always have to be me? But the Lord comes to the rescue. He gives us comfort. We put our needs in and we will receive his supply. Isn't it great to know what the Lord can do? I remember a story that I read. A man ordered from a mail order house all the time. And he'd always look at that order blank. He'd send it through the mail. That was before the days of email. And he'd send it through the mail, and it had a place on there to mark if they could substitute a merchandise that you was ordered. And he said he never paid any attention to it. And one day he said he was ordering a winter coat. And said he looked at that. He said, I'm just going to check that. If they want to substitute, it'll be fine. And said, sure enough, that when he got his order back in the mail, that they didn't have the coat that he ordered. But they sent him a much better coat, much more expensive coat for the same price. So he says, when you pray and let God answer in his way. You say, but preacher, the Lord won't do me like that. When we pray earnestly, God will do us like that. I believe that with all of my heart. When we pray selfish, we're not going to get much done, period. But we put our needs in that pot, and he gives us his supply. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That's what God will do. That's what Paul was writing and telling these folks here in the Philippian church. And then last, we put our future in the pot, and he gives us heaven. Our future. When we think about our future, when you go to apply for a job today, one of the things that you look for is benefit package. That's one of the things that you look for. I read an article the other day that was talking about the people that's in this country that is that are illegal in this country. They're not citizens. They don't pay taxes, so I understand. They don't. They're not able to furnish their own insurance. They can't do that. And we have a lot of companies that don't furnish insurance, and people don't make enough money to buy insurance, and it's put a tremendous tax on folks who have to pay the bill. You see, so when you go get a job, one of the first things that you think about, what kind of benefits have you got? How much vacation do I get? What kind of insurance do you have? What's available? What kind of working condition? The benefits. What kind of retirement have you got? I never thought about retirement when I was young. I guess I didn't think as bad as I was doing, I would live long enough to retire or to get to the age to retire. But in God's, all of these things that I preach to you here this morning, I believe with all of my heart. I believe we dump our sins into God's pot, and God forgives us and gives us salvation. We put our prayers in his pot. He gives us answers. We put our problems in his pot. He gives us guidance. We put our sorrows in his pot. He gives us comfort. We put our needs in his pot. He gives us of his supply. I believe that with all of my heart. And when we put our future in God's hand, God gives us all of these things that we've got here in this world that he's promised us. And we've got the best retirement plan that's been ever been made to mankind. A brand new body. A brand new home, a brand new world, a brand new earth, and we're going to live forever and never going to get sick, never going to die. All of these things are God's promises. And why in the world that we'll go on without accepting them? I don't understand it. I don't understand. I'll be honest. People will carry their burdens around and fret and growl and complain and talk about, I'm having a hard time. Well, what are you doing about your problems, you see? You say, preacher, nobody cares. Nobody can handle your problems but God. The Lord can handle them problems. My biggest problem is you're looking at him, standing up here in front of this mic. You're looking at my biggest problem. Your biggest problem I'm looking at today. We're our biggest problem. Bring these things to God and talk to God about them, and the Lord will give us victory if we'll accept it. I mean, he's there on the throne, and he's in control, and he's able to do things. Work them out, I'll tell you. Work them out. If we pray for money, God will perhaps give us a job. Okay? You say, preacher, that ain't the way I want it. Well, that's the way, if God's going, that's what, hey, they needed money to pay the taxes in our Sunday school class this morning, in the adult class. Peter had said, Jesus pays taxes, and Jesus said, Peter, I'm not supposed to pay taxes, but you go fishing. Catch that fish, he's got a piece of money. Jesus could have just flipped his thumb, you know, that money could have been there. But he said, you go down there. See, he needed money, so Jesus said, go to work. You know, when you say, but preacher, I have an awful lot of burdens I have. How long has it been since you took time to count your blessings? You say, but preacher, you don't understand. I probably don't know what you go through. And I certainly sympathize, and I mean that from the depths of my heart. But how many people are laying in the nursing home that would give anything in the world to be sitting where you're sitting this morning? They wouldn't complain. If we could go and get those people out of the nursing home and give them back health like we've got today and bring them to the house of the Lord, when we'd sing those songs out of the hymn books, they'd make the rafters ring. Amen. We don't count our blessings. God's wonderful. He's great. He's my friend. He's my buddy. He's my Savior, and he's my Lord, and I present him to you. If you've got a problem, if you're not saved, you've got a problem you're dealing with, and if you want to do business with God, this is the time to do it. Would you bow your heads, please? Brother Homer, would you come and lead us in an invitation song? And I want you to think seriously about your life and where you stand with God. And if you want something changed about it, something to be fixed, you give God a chance, and he'll sure do it, as sure as the world. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd speak to every heart in the time of this invitation and work your precious will in each situation. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?